Govardhan is shaped like peacock. Sometimes you see peacocks standing on a branch. And when you see them standing on a branch, what happens with her tail? Droops way down. But then the middle part of their body is kind of balanced on the branch. And then their head goes in a narrow shape like this. And sometimes even the peacock has her head tucked in by her chest. So, like that, that's the shape of Govardhan. So, Manasi Ganga is midway, halfway down the eastern side of Govardhan. And Mukharavind, the mouth of Govardhan, is down here. And the eyes of Govardhan are Radhakund and Shyamakund. And the punch, or the tail, of Govardhan is at the bottom, the middle belly or body portion of Govardhan is Manasi Ganga. Gwal Pokhar, where we went inside, that's the legs where Govardhan is perched on the, or the peacock is perched on the branch, balancing. So, or excuse me, the ears up towards the top. So, after crossing, those who were unable to hear the Manasi Ganga description, unless you're English speaking, you can attend one of the translations that are going to take place later so you can hear that portion. As we went, that was Govardhan town that we passed through, all those shops and noise and clatter and buses and confusion. And then we made a sharp left-hand turn and came down this road. And just past that turning point is where Dun Ghati is. We pointed it out, but the tractor coming one way and the pandas coming at us from the other way and the traffic backed up beeping horns from the other way, we couldn't stay there very long. It's a very wonderful lila. The pastimes of Krishna's taking tax. It wasn't only in one place that Krishna took tax. It's a pastime. It's not even like a rerun where Krishna does the same thing over and over and it's boring. It's very delightful each time Krishna performs this tax pastime. We pass through Sankarikor, going in Barsana. That's another tax pastime place. Sometimes when the gopis would be crossing the Jamuna, Krishna would take a tax. Sometime when passing over Govardhan Hill, the gopis would take a tax. And Raghunath Das Goswami wrote a book that just describes that pastime. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't write many books, but the books that he wrote will make your hair stand on end in a transcendental ecstasy state, just like the pearl pastime was written by Raghunath Das Goswami. So imagine the Dan Mila pastime that Krishna performed with the gopis is in detail described. Raghunath Das Goswami was in such a state of Krishna consciousness that when he, like we described the Ter Kadamba tree, when Rupa Goswami would write and it was a mood of separation, all the leaves would fall off the tree, like tears falling from the tree, and experiencing the mood of Rupa Goswami, feeling separation, feeling the separation of Radha and Krishna. And then the leaves would suddenly appear, and not only leaves, but blossoms and Kadamba flowers would appear when Radha and Krishna would meet. Just when Rupa Goswami was describing those pastimes. Raghunath Das Goswami was like that also. He would relish the writings of Rupa Goswami. He read one literature that Rupa Goswami had written in which there was a pastime of separation. And Raghunath Das Goswami was devastated. Transcendentally devastated. He couldn't even eat his palmful of buttermilk every other day. He couldn't sleep at all. He was in such anxiety over the separation of Radha and Krishna. So this news was passed to Rupa Goswami. So he then prepared a Leela of the meeting of Radha and Krishna, just to change the mood and change the heart, which was how Raghunath Das Goswami was ruled, by the heart. And he became very happy, so happy that he wrote this Leela, a book describing this Leela that took place where we just passed. And I'll outline the summary of it, but the detail is where much of the beauty lies. Because it's like an exquisite painting. It's not just like a painting of some pastoral scene. It's all the detail of Raghunath Das Goswami. So the literature begins with a yajna. A yajna that was being performed by Nanda Maharaja's arrangement at Govindakund, which is where we're going to stop next, for those of you that just joined us and don't want to be separated from the group. Govindakund is the next place where we'll stop. So there were some sages that were performing a yajna, and they needed ghee and other milk products for the yajna. And so the gopis were volunteering very happily, "We'll bring the ghee, we'll bring the milk products. But we have to milk the cows, and then we'll bring the products with us." So they were crossing over Dangati, that narrow strip just past Manasi Ganga. So it was very easy for them to cross over. Vrindadevi's parrots informed Krishna where the gopis were and what they were up to. And so Krishna was waiting just on the other side of the overpass, as the gopis were heading towards Govindakund. And Krishna had his tax collector, Bhav, with a nice stick, more sturdy even than the one Dharmendra has, real nice sturdy stick. "Stop!" Just like the practice is here, they will have a toll collector, they have this thing that comes down, "Stop! Where do you think you're going, carrying all these products of milk? Don't you know that the king of Vraja receives a portion of everything that is produced in this land? And I am his son. He is Brajendra. He is the king of Vraja, and I am Brajendra Nandana. And I've come to take tax. You cannot pass until you give me something in each one of your dairy product containers." And the gopis said, "We have some service to do. Please get out of the way. We're going to bring all these items for a yajna." And Krishna wouldn't let them pass. A big argument, back and forth and back and forth. And Krishna then started explaining how much tax they would have to pay. And in the Leela, he begins describing the features of Radharani's eyes and her nose and her beautiful smile and her beautiful teeth and her beautiful hair and all of her features. And for each of the features, she had to pay a certain tax. So many thousands of diamonds, so many hundreds of thousands of pearls, so many millions of rubies for her red lips. She has to pay a tax for all. So he was glorifying the features of Radharani's form. But in the course of glorifying the features of her form, she had to pay a tax to Brajendra Nandana, the tax collector on behalf of Nanda Maharaj. And Lilita, she stepped forward, said, "You get out of our way. You're such a cheater. We don't pay any attention to people, irreligious people like you. Get out of the way. We're passing." And they began scuffling. And just at that time, Nandimukhi arrived. And Nandimukhi was, you know, very mature and sober. So they asked Nandimukhi, "Can you please mediate this dispute here?" And Nandimukhi said, "Dear Krishna, tomorrow the gopis surely will give you something, but everything that they have today is intended for the yajna, and the sages are waiting for all of these items. They can't proceed with the yajna. Please let them go, and tomorrow they will give you something. I promise you, they'll give you something." So Krishna agreed and let them go. So they went to the yajna at Govindakund. The next day, according to the plan of Lalita and Vishakha and Nandimukhi, there were tens of thousands of gopis, all with sticks. They were going to give something to Krishna. A big lesson. Krishna was passing along Govardhan Hill. Just as he was walking along Govardhan Hill. And going down a little distance is Dan Nivartan Kund. We won't go there because it's muddy, but we can speak about it. We'll point it out, especially if we stay all together this time. We'll be able to see it all at the same time. It's a nice big stretch. So the Leela Raghunath Das Goswami describes is the gopis all hid themselves behind trees and rocks. Now when you go, there's not so many trees, but there were far more trees and lots of big rocks and thousands of gopis hiding, waiting to ambush the cowherd boys. So when the cowherd boys came innocently walking along, expecting, "I wonder when and how is the arrangement going to be that the gopis will give us something for the tax that they promised they would give?" They all jumped out from behind the trees and the rocks and grabbed the cowherd boys and tied them to the trees with their sikas and said, "You big offender Krishna, you wanted to tax Srimati Radharani, but she is the queen of Vraja. There was a grand ceremony and you personally crowned her queen of Vrindavan. She is the proprietor of everything, and you want to tax her of her property? You should be severely punished. And we have just the fit punishment for you. Radharani is seated over on that throne, and you have to go and place your head at her feet and beg her forgiveness." Krishna smiled, looked at his cowherd friends out of the corner of his eye, and went before Srimati Radharani and placed his head at Radharani's feet. And she placed her feet on Krishna's head. And Radharani was very happy, and Krishna was very happy, and the gopis were very happy. and the cowherd boys were just laughing at the fun. When the Leela, of course, is very wonderful, that the Supreme Controller places himself at the mercy of Srimati Radharani. But in a broader sense, in our lives as devotees, unintentionally, due to a momentary circumstance or something may arise when we may offend another devotee. This Dan Nivartan Kund is the Leela there is a very nice lesson, where even you're the personality of Godhead, you request forgiveness. Of course, it's Leela. There's nothing Krishna needs to beg forgiveness for. It's a loving exchange between himself and Srimati Radharani. But in our case, there may be inadvertent offenses, and if those offenses occur, then there should be no hesitation to go before the other person and submit ourselves for forgiveness and rectification. So when we pass by, we'll stop for a half a minute or a minute and offer your prayers to Radha and Krishna, that they may also extend forgiveness to you for mistakes, for offenses, for harming another person unintentionally. It's bound to happen. Being in embodied souls, it's bound to happen. And we don't want to just like, okay, it's bound to happen, so keep sailing. We want to submit ourselves to the mercy of Radha and Krishna, that they may extend their forgiveness, and the devotees or others who we may have offended may forgive us. Very important principle of Vaishnavachar. After we leave Dan Nivartan Kund, you'll notice on your right, because we circumambulate Govardhan to our right, just like we circumambulate Tulsi Devi to our right, or the deity to our right. So we're keeping Krishna on the right side as we circumambulate Govardhan. You'll notice that the steepness of Govardhan goes up and up and up, and then there's a little curvature, a big, big field area, and a curvature in Govardhan. And it's in that area where the pastime of Anior, the pastime of the Anukut ceremony, where Krishna, the whole Govardhan puja, Leela, was enacted. Right there. The village following that tall portion of Govardhan Hill is called Anior. And the meaning of Anior is the local language saying more, as Hari Dev, or Lord Hari, manifested this gigantic form of the personality of Godhead to receive directly the offerings. Krishna wanted Nanda Maharaj. Won't describe the whole Leela because, well, it fits, because after comes Govindakund. So, you know the Leela, but I'll succinctly describe. This very same day that Krishna gave his mercy to the wives of the Brahmanas, it's even in the relatively same area, the wives of the Brahmanas came to offer their foodstuffs to Krishna and the cowherd boys. And there, Krishna satisfied their desire to reciprocate with their love for him. Our acharyas note that the language that Krishna spoke when he told the wives of the Brahmanas to go back to their homes It's the very same verse that Krishna spoke to the gopis when he told the gopis to go back to their homes in the dead of night after he had called them. The very same Sanskrit. So the relationship, the bhava, is very similar. Anyway, so that after giving his mercy to the wives of the brahmanas, that very afternoon is when the Govardhan Leela took place. Krishna came to that Anior section of Govardhan Hill, and he saw that Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, they were gathering together ingredients for a sacrifice. So he asked his father, what is the purpose of this sacrifice? Is it enjoined in the scripture, or is it family tradition? And in the course of the discussion, Krishna said, you don't need to worship Indra. You don't need to do any of these rituals. You just need to do good work. He gave impersonal philosophy, karmakanda philosophy. Instead of worshiping Indra, we should worship Govardhan Hill, because we're cowherds men and our whole livelihood is dependent. We're from the Vaishya community and our livelihood is dependent upon the production of what Govardhan supplies us. And so we've had a successful season, we should worship Govardhan. My dear father, please take all of the ingredients that you've gathered together for Lord Indra and prepare wonderful food preparations and offer to Govardhan Hill. So Nanda Maharaj did just as his darling son Krishna requested. And piles and piles and piles and piles. Anukut means you don't, not like you do in your home where you take something of each preparation and put on Krishna's plate and put Krishna's plate before the deity, make the offering to Krishna, and then allow Krishna to finish his meal, take the plate, Krishna's plate, transfer, and that becomes Mahaprasad. That's the normal procedure. Anukut is the whole pot and everything goes before. So that's what the Brijbasis did. Huge piles of rice and chapatis and vegetables and cakes and breads and baked items and sabjis and sweets made of milk products and the long, long, long list and piles and piles and piles. And they offered it all to Govardhan Hill, just like we do at Govardhan Puja. And then to impress Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Braj, it wasn't just child talk. Govardhan is Lord Hari. So he manifested a huge, towering form of Lord Hari, who saw the big piles of all the anukut, and he ate everything. And after he ate everything, he wanted more. So he called out loudly, Anior! I want more! Bring me more! The residents of Braja saw this giant form of Hari saying, bring me more. So they went to their storerooms and whatever they could find, and they gathered it all together and made more offerings and prepared another anukut and offered it to Lord Hari and very quickly ate everything more. And then he said, Anior! Anior! I want more! They didn't have anything more. They didn't know what to do. So they went to the brahmanas. What do we do? Lord Balaram was watching the fun. Lord Balaram said, I have a suggestion. Place one tulsi leaf in the palm of Lord Hari and see what happens. They placed one tulsi leaf and he was very satisfied. So that portion of the pastime took place, we're going to see it. We'll point it out, but you'll visually you can see. The hill goes up and up and up and up and up and very tall vertical section of Govardhan Hill. nice big land area in between the roadway where we're walking and go over Dun Hill. That's where that Leela took place. It must have been a big Anukut. Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai.